Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Late Night Sprites. If you're new, welcome. If you're not new, thank you so much for sticking around. And today I'm going to talk about the Knuckles show. At the time of this recording, it has been out for a little over a day. It dropped at like 3 a.m. on Paramount Plus, but like I watched it yesterday. So today is Saturday, April 27, 2024, and I finished it this morning. I watched most of it last night, and then I watched the rest of it this morning. I was able to avoid any spoilers, but I did see some early reviews on it, and it had me scratching my head. Now, for the first half of this review, I'm going to be talking about just the show as generally as possible. And then I'm going to dive into, like, specifics and spoilers in the second half. So if you're curious on my opinion, but you want to watch the show yourself, maybe watch it with some friends, then you can listen to, like, the first 10-ish minutes of this episode. If you haven't followed, please consider following. I'm Homecoming Hero. This is Late Night Sprites, where I love talking about all sorts of nerdy topics, and I haven't talked about a show in a while. I haven't talked about a show or a movie in a while. I talked about Community recently, and it being taken off of Netflix was kind of like the big inspiration for that. But like, in terms of a show or a licensed anything based off of a video game, I'm pretty sure the last time I talked about that would have to be the Mario movie. And I've talked about both Sonic movies on here, so I'm just sticking with this universe and, well, talking about the Knuckles show. So, the Knuckles show follows Knuckles and Wade, who is Tom's, like, best friend-ish character, who's also a cop in Green Hills, and them going on wacky side adventures, and there are villains to defeat, and that's about it. That's about it. So, I will say this. So, Wade beforehand didn't really mean a lot to me. Wade was that character who just kind of was there. In the first movie, he's like trying to keep up with Sonic. And in the second movie, Wade stumbles in on Agent Stone, gets taken hostage, and then he's just there. That's about it for Wade. Wade was like a side character meant to give jokes, and I think I want to address this firsthand. I know there are some people who cannot stand the human characters in the Sonic movie. There are people who want Sonic to go through a ring portal and take Stone and Eggman with him, and basically it'd be Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Sonic's friends on Mobius for the movies. But the movies are a different world, and I feel like the human characters are meant to appeal to families. Like, you know, with Sonic and Tom having like a father-son relationship, Maddie's like Sonic's mom, and she even acts like a mom here in the Knuckles show. Like, that's kind of the aspect that they're going for, and they are really playing up the fact that Sonic is a kid. Well, teenager/kid, same with Knuckles, same with Tails. Like, Tails especially is like a little kid. Tails is usually like 8 years old. And so with all of that, it made me realize that, like, this was made for families. I know people aren't a big fan of the humans and they think that they take away. And I'm going to say this right now. If you hated the wedding scene in the second Sonic movie, you're going to hate this show. You are absolutely going to hate this show. And I feel like you should maybe give it another chance, but really, I don't care about, like, the human characters. I'm indifferent to them. Sometimes they can be really funny. I love Agent Stone. Agent Stone never showed up in a game, but his actor is so charismatic that he's enjoyable. I even liked some of the scenes in the second movie with Maddie's sister. Her little action sequence with Maddie, I thought was pretty funny, and, like, her anger towards Gunn and Gunn having her as, like, an enemy, I thought was funny. So, yeah, I'm okay with the humans. And I wanted to preface that because before I dive into spoilers and such, I will tell you right now, that this is a Knuckles and Wade story. That I would say even more so a Wade story. Wade gets just as much screen time as Knuckles. Wade has this like big storyline, and even though the show is called Knuckles, the emotional byline and the emotional points of the story and some of the morals all are about Wade. They are all about Wade. So yeah, even though the show is called Knuckles, Knuckles is kind of resuming the side character angle. And I also feel like this was done because Knuckles is going to be present and able to do lines in Sonic 3. Obviously, Tails and Knuckles are going to be present. The second Sonic movie was very much Tails and Knuckles' time to shine, and Sonic was sharing the screen with them. The third movie is throwing in Shadow. The third movie is bringing Shadow to the mix, and we are all very excited to see who is playing Shadow. It's either the worst-kept secret with Keanu Reeves or maybe Hayden Christensen. I don't want to date this episode too much, so I'm not going to dive into that news aspect of Sonic 3. But I will say that I feel like this show was made for Knuckles. And let's start with what I liked about the show. It has some very absurdist comedy. Like, just some, what was that, why, this is so random humor. And sometimes it doesn't land, and sometimes it lands in spades. There were some moments where I was laughing so hard at this show. Like, there were some jokes that I was laughing about when I was talking to my friends about it the other night, and I was just laughing so hard at the Knuckles show, honestly. The action is also really good. There's some really good action set scenes. Like, there's quite a decent amount of it, but there's a fair balance. Like, it's not, like, a ton of action all the time, but the action that's there sometimes blends comedy with the action, and it works. And Knuckles gets to do some really fun stuff. Knuckles gets to show off that he is the warrior. Also, much like the second Sonic movie, there's a lot of fun visual references and Easter eggs if you are a Sonic fan. As I mentioned earlier, they are trying to get the best of both worlds, and with that, you get a lot of visual Easter eggs. Now, that is about it, and it's 6 episodes long. Each episode is about 20 minutes, so honestly, this is kind of like a mini Knuckles movie, because it's about 2 hours long in total for all of it. And I'm okay with that. I hope that maybe we get another season of Knuckles and Wade going on adventures, or maybe Shadow gets a series. Like, that could be fun. And yeah, that's about it. There isn't the most to talk about with the Knuckles series, because unlike, say, for example, a limited series like Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, which has 20-minute episodes as well, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off was 8 episodes long, and it also made me really wonder why this was only 6 episodes. It made me almost wish that there was more. It made me want more. There was some good action, there was some good comedy, there was a couple good character moments. This actually ended up making me like Wade. Wade's performance was really good. A lot of the acting in this is really solid. In fact, I will say that every actor brings their A game to this. Nobody's phoning it in. But now let's get into some of the spoiler-free problems I have. The writing is hit and miss. When this writing misses, it really misses. And I feel like one of the big problems with this show is that they don't know how to end a scene. I feel like they really don't know how to end a scene for this show in particular, because, like, some of them just drag on. A character keeps making jokes. The pacing is really off. And I'll dive more into this, into specifics, but I will say that I wasn't the biggest fan of the villains of this series, and I will dive into that in the spoiler section. So some of the humor was off. Some of the pacing was off. I kind of wish that the villains were done better, and the episodes just didn't really work in some ways. Like, in some ways they were great, in some ways they really just, again, this is very hit and miss. Like, if I was to give this like a score, I'd probably say a 7 out of 10, because when this show like falls, it stumbles. It unfortunately stumbles. But that's about it with the bad, and there's the good. Also, the opening before every episode is like really good. Like the opening is awesome and done incredibly well. It's like this hand-drawn doodles of Knuckles, and you get to see these like really fun little like training sequences with Knuckles and Wade, and Knuckles doing like cool stuff, and it's like really fun, and I love it. And the song that they use is really good. There are some spoilers that I want to get into because I have a couple more compliments and a couple more gripes. I have to get into spoilers for those. So spoiler warning. This is your big spoiler warning. If you haven't watched the show and you want to, turn off the episode now. Maybe hit the follow button. Go and watch it. Leave and come back if you want to. But if not, thank you for listening this long. And yeah, or if you don't care about spoilers and you want to hear my full thoughts, feel free to stick around. But this is your spoiler warning. I'm trying to give an elongated spoiler warning. Okay, 3, 2, 1. So one of the problems that I would say is that I feel like, as I mentioned earlier, if you hate the human characters, you will hate this show. And that's true. There's an episode in the middle, and with the show only being 6 episodes long, that is completely about Wade. In fact, the back half of the show focuses on Wade a little too much. He ends up having this really heartwarming story about facing his dad and becoming a warrior and being a bowling champion. But there's a scene like in the final episode where Knuckles is fighting a robot and he's laying face down in the street, and they cut back to this bowling tournament for like 10 minutes, and it's like, oh man, but I want to watch Knuckles fight the robot. Also, Knuckles gets defeated like twice, and Wade has to bail him out. And I feel like this would have been better if they did this once. This honestly has the vibes more so of the first Sonic movie than the second one. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. Now, the visual references are great. We have a reference to Ice Cap Zone in the episode before Knuckles leaves home. Sonic does the Dreamcast commercial DJ thing. And you even hear the sound bite that I believe is the exact same song from that commercial, because there's a few music Easter eggs. There's a few like sound effect Easter eggs, I should say, because once again, bafflingly, just the most head scratching thing. They don't use any Sonic music, and it's really making me wonder because especially after the Super Mario Brothers movie, the first Sonic movie had a little bit of music, the second one did too, but I'm hoping the third really digs in. I know they're trying to be different, but like Sonic has one of the most rich musical libraries in video games from the Genesis era, like all the way up to Mania. Like the music just slaps. Everybody loves Sonic music. Like, I'm hoping that City Escape shows up in the third movie, but yes. And then there is so much licensed music. Knuckles' opening song is even like a licensed song, but that one works because in terms of the presentation of the opening, you see like a reference with like Sonic and Knuckles and Tails in a band, and that's great in everything. And it's like, hey, that's like the old Sonic promotional art. And that's really cool. And it just fits like visually with the opening, and it's like all these drawings on mixtapes, and it's really charming. I love the opening so much. But there's so much human stuff in the show. There's the two gun agents who want to betray Gunn. There is Robotnik's former engineer who was betrayed, who's just called the Buyer. Literally, I turned on subtitles and his name is the Buyer. He has no name at all. He has a backstory, and you get to hear that engaging backstory in episode 5, and then he shows up in episode 6. And because we're in spoiler territory, all of the villains in the show are dealt with. They are quickly. I'm pretty sure Knuckles killed him. I'm pretty sure Knuckles killed this man because they drop this like giant ball on him, and he just gets crushed, and he's in this robot. So he gets crushed. The character, the gun agents, they I don't know how they got access to these, but they have Sonic's portal rings. I don't know if they were like confiscated at the wedding or something, or if Sonic just keeps dropping them, like he got hit and they went flying everywhere, or if they picked some up from Seattle. But they have like a good number of these portal rings, and that's actually how they get defeated. These two gun agents were one of the ways that I was thinking about the writing not being the best. So we have the introduction of Wade. Wade's a strange father, the buyer, Wade's sister, Wade's mom, and every character has to have like a funny dialogue line. It's almost like the people who made this show looked and saw the Sonic movie and realized that every character in the Sonic movie has these like really funny lines. Like there's this Girl Scout who competes in the bowling thing, and she has to stand there and roast Wade, and that was actually really funny. But then she's competing in the big final tournament, and then her mom and dad get a bunch of lines, and I feel like that's the detriment. I feel like there are too many bonus characters. There's this bounty hunter who's a friend of Wade's. There are these other bounty hunters because Wade gets a bounty put on his head in the middle of the show, and so they get bounty hunted. And I feel like this is where the pacing goes off, because you have these quiet moments of like Knuckles having dinner with Wade and his family, and then they're fighting the bounty hunters. And then the episode after that, Wade fights his old best friend in a duel, and he goes through a rock opera musical where he learns for it to truly, you know, be a warrior like Knuckles from Patrick Mac from Sonic Adventure 1. But he's like a force ghost. So, yeah, him in the bowling alley outfit, that thankfully is a dream sequence. I was wondering why he worked at a bowling alley, but there, I was left with some questions. I was left with a lot of questions in this because, again, one of the detriments is that, one of the positives, I should say, the show made me love Wade. It made me think that Wade was cool. He had funny lines. He had funny sequences. But then it also made me go like, wait a minute, this is the Knuckles show. Why do we have so much Wade? Why do we have Wade's sister who's in the FBI, who then just stabs him with a fork at dinner for no reason? And like full on stab, you see it go into his arm and stay in there. There's some adult jokes and more swearing and stuff because it's a TV show, I guess. That's okay, but sometimes it comes across as kind of edgy, honestly. But in terms of the references, so we have Ice Cap Zone, we have Patrick Mac from Sonic Adventure, who is voiced by Christopher Lloyd, and he did a good job. I like Patrick Mac, although he's, maybe because he's a force ghost, maybe that's why he's so warm and gentle and less of the stubborn, close-minded character that he is in the first Sonic Adventure game. Because he learned the wrongs of the owls and the echidnas going to war with each other. So we have those two. We have Knuckles digging and gliding and a little bit of wall climbing, but mostly you get digging once and you get some gliding once. You get in Wade's rock opera dream sequence where he learns Knuckles' history. He goes through what I believe is Emerald Hill Zone, complete with the patterns, the item box. And the reason why I say it's Emerald Hill is because he passes a checkpoint and he goes to the half pipe. And then he runs past the sign, which they do the sign twice in this. Knuckles creates like a training area, and they do the sign where he runs past it and it spins and it shows him and young nostalgic me went, yeah! And I was super excited. And then when Wade does it in the dream sequence, complete with a Knuckles onesie during this rock opera, the crazy thing is that, first of all, it's called the Flames of Disaster. So immediately Sonko 6. He runs past the sign, and this scary monster face shows up, and there's a giant puppet of Ibalis. And you have Knuckles learning to be a warrior, and they sing about how Knuckles defeated Ibalis. And that, wow, before Chaos was alluded to, they alluded to Ibalis from Sonic 06, everyone's favorite Sonic game. Ibalis was just right up there. You can't tell me, because it's called the Flames of Despair. They had a face that it was a rock monster like creature. Yeah, that was Ibalis. And they kept mentioning fire, and also at the very end of the show, Knuckles uses the Flames of Disaster and defeats the buyer, the most terrifying. The problem, I feel like, is because Jim Carrey and the actor who played Agent Stone set such a high standard for this show that the villains, which are the bounty hunter, the buyer, the bounty hunters who are going after them, the unnamed ones, and the two gun agents, they had way too many villains. I think it should have all been the buyer. I think the buyer should have hired the gun agents, personally. Maybe he starts with, like, no-name thugs and bounty hunters, and then he works up and he's like, hey, I found these gun agents on the side to work for me. Instead, it was a slapdash. He doesn't even do anything until the final episode. He's just in his workshop, and he's like, he has these weapons made out of Knuckles' quills, and that's where some of the plot holes happen. This is where I had to knock it down quite a few points, because then you also have this family drama with Wade's dad and his tournament bowling and him fighting his bounty hunter friend. The whole rock opera sequence had me taken aback a little bit, because after that, Wade is like in a cage being pulled by his friend who's a bounty hunter, and he punches out of the cage. He like spins around in uppercut. He does the Knuckles uppercut, and I'm like, how did Wade suddenly learn the power of a warrior? And suddenly Wade has all these moments where he's like learning all these abilities, and he rescued Knuckles earlier. Big problem. Honestly, that knocked it down a point or two. And then the overusage of the licensed music. There was so much. We're talking about All the Small Things by Blink-182. We're talking about the opening. We're talking about Holding Out for a Hero and then Take My Breath Away, which was funny, but was, again, in the same sequence. Like, we didn't even get any, like, typical, like, you know, normal background TV music, really, or movie music, even. And we didn't get any, like, generic TV orchestra. Again, love the opening. Love all of the references. There aren't a ton of them. This isn't like Sonic Movie 2, where, oh, that's Sonic Skateboard, and oh, he does the Adventure 2 pose, and oh, that's like Sonic Heroes, and oh, Agent Stone has the Dithic robot, but it's the manual is like it's a Genesis manual, or a Mega Drive manual. Oh my gosh, references everywhere! Like, no, this is like, there's a few. There's a few that are, like, obviously Patrick Mac and the Flames of Disaster and Ibalis are, and as well as Emerald Hill Zone. Those are the ones that are up in your face. There's a couple that are very subtle, like Ice Cap Zone. There's references to, there's a lot of movie references in this, though. There's references to movies. Knuckle watches movies. They do the E.T. thing. Wade wears Ninja Turtle shirts and has a Ninja Turtle bed because Paramount owns the Ninja Turtles, which, I mean, I'm all for Wade. You know, you live your best life, Wade. But that being said, it's okay. I enjoy it. The humans sometimes have really funny lines. His bounty hunter friend, I kind of wish was a bounty hunter hired by the buyer. Instead, the bounty hunter is hanging out with Susie and her parents, and Susie is playing a Nintendo Switch, which I guess she's playing Sonic Colors Ultimate or Sonic 4. I hope she's playing Sonic Mania. At least then she'd be playing a good Sonic game on the Switch. But, too many human characters. They focus on these sportscasters from ESPN. The really truly funny ones is when they go to the bowling convention, there's a mascot convention and Knuckles interacts with the people who are mascots, and that always makes me laugh. Like Knuckles, Idris Elba still knocks it out of the park. Whenever he's on screen, whenever he has action, he is still the same Knuckles character that he was in Sonic 2. And the first episode has Ben Schwartz Sonic, Colleen O'Shaughnessy as Tails, and that's great. And Knuckles like getting grounded was pretty funny. Like the first episode sets it up well, but I just wish that they had cut down on the villains, honestly, because at the end of the day, all the bounty hunters are defeated, they all run away, they're all disposed of. In the case of the buyer, he's dead. No one can convince me that them not dropping a giant glass ball on him while he's in a metal robot did not crush him to death. And even the thing is that the destination for the gun agents was a portal that led to the same room that they were in, and it was two rings, and those rings closed together and then exploded. So either they got sent to the Mushroom Planet, which they brought that back again. I guess we can't have a Sonic movie or show without Mushroom Planet, legally distinct Mushroom Hill Zone in it. Or I guess not, who knows? But they had it again. They kicked some gun agent in there. With these characters, with the gun agents, I want to focus on them because they were forefront in the advertising, and they almost made it in the advertising look like Gunn was after Knuckles, or the rogue gun agents and the buyer were after Knuckles. And so, for example, the scene with the bounty hunters was more tied to them, like, oh, maybe those are rogue gun agents because Wade has a bounty on his head. And I love Knuckles standing there being like, no, he must learn to fend for himself while drinking coffee straight from the pot. Like, Knuckles was hilarious as usual, and Wade had some very heartwarming and funny moments as well. Wade's sister, I feel like the gag with her acting like because she's in the FBI definitely ran on a lot too much. I loved Wade's mom though. Wade's mom was not only hilarious, but her action sequence with Knuckles was like one of my favorites, where she's like, it's a pan around shot and it's her and Knuckles. But again, just way too many cooks in the kitchen, way too many villains, and it made me think with the advertising that these gun agents were these big villains, but they get taken out in episode 2, and then you don't see them again until episode 5, and you don't see the buyer again. You see him in episode 1 going, oh, I got a job for you, and then you don't see him in his backstory until episode 5, and then he's in a robot in episode 6. And it's like, maybe if the buyer popped up at the end of every episode, like an end credits scene, like, oh, I'm gonna get those Knuckles, I'm gonna get him and his bumbling friend Wade, and you see him like smash a robot part or something. Or if we got his backstory before episode 5, I would have really appreciated it. But I think Knuckles deserves another season. I think there's enough good in here that they could make something really great. They gotta fine tune it a little bit. This felt a lot like the first Sonic movie because it's a road trip where a Sonic character and a human get into non-Sonic problem related shenanigans while they fight a robot at the end in the middle of the street. They fight characters who are tougher than them. The only difference is that this one has gun agents, but this reminded me a lot of the first movie because the first movie is good. It's fun, but it is very much like a road trip movie. There's that bar scene with the bar fight. There's the highway chase scene with the robots, which I always love for Carrie's, like it was in the trailer, but I even love the delivery in the movie, the give me a big fat break. Like, I love that. The scenes with Robotnik felt natural because you followed him as a villain from start to finish. And Robotnik had funny lines. I got nothing from the buyer or these gun agents. One of them apparently planned Maddie's sister's wedding and ordered the Olive Garden credit card or the Olive Garden gift cards from the first movie. I liked her disdain. The other one just wanted to fight. Like, he mentions offhand that he was like in underground fighting and stuff like that. And then he gets a call from his mom, and Oh my gosh, I wish they cut some of his dialogue. He keeps trying to make these jokes or trail the scene on, and every character does this. Wade does this, he does this, Wade's sister does this, and it works 4 times out of 10. The trailing on scenes seldom worked. They did not really work. Wade's dad, every human gets them. Wade's mom worked because instead of trying to be funny, she was trying to connect with Knuckles and talk about family. And I feel like that worked. She worked. But whenever they were trying to trail off and be funny and like, let's keep the bit going, let's keep the bit going, the pacing took a massive hit. I wish this had a little bit more time in the oven. I really do. So overall, though, I still give it like a 7 out of 10. The references are fun for Sonic fans. There's some really funny comedy moments, just some really good comedy moments, and some really good action, and it's always good to see more Knuckles and see more of this world. I like this take on Sonic in this world, and I like some of the human characters too. There's some good comedy, there's some good jokes, there's some good written jokes, there's some good physical slapstick, there's some really good stuff. So overall, I stay by my 7 out of 10. It's a B rank or a C rank. It's still good enough. You know, if you beat this stage, Sonic will go, "Ah, we did good." And you know what? The show did good. Is it perfect? By no means. Is it on the same tier as the Sonic movies? I put it one step below the first Sonic movie. Sonic movie 1 is a 7.5 out of 10. Sonic movie 2 is an 8 out of 10. This is a 7 out of 10. All of them passing grades, all of them still great. I loved all the references. I liked some of the licensed music. I love the opening. The opening is great. I love what they did with Wade. I love what they did with Knuckles. I just wish things were a little different and done a little bit better. But overall, things were done good enough and were enjoyable at the end of the day. There was some cringe. There was some good comedy. There was some good action. There's plenty to enjoy with the Knuckles show. But you know, there is one other detriment, but I'm not knocking this on the show. Paramount Plus as an app is terrible to navigate. I had this on my PS5, and my goodness, anytime I tried to rewind, look for visual references, hear a line again, rewatch that Knuckles rock opera section again to see if I missed anything, it would basically restart the whole episode. It would exit me out. I would have to watch the Paramount Plus, the dun dun dun, every single time I accidentally exited out. It was a little rough. And also navigating the episodes, like the control on my controller, there was lag. There was lag when I was selecting episodes. How? But yeah, aside from that, it was fine. It was a good time. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of Late Night Sprites. I will be back again when I have some ideas, but we are getting closer to the summer of Sprite. So right now we're in the beginning of May, so I may take a week or two off and kind of just get ready because we are getting close to the kickoff for the summer of Sprite. So get excited, but please consider hitting that follow button if you have not yet. I'm making episodes all the time. Take care of yourself, take care of your mental health. I've been Homecoming Hero. And I'll see you in the next Late Night Sprites episode. Take care.